on a serious note, thank you for all that, and what an encouragement. Brought tears to my eyes, but I just had to go out back here and take a call, and I got permission to share it with you all. You folks know Noel and Marilla Rodriguez, and I was over there yesterday visiting and praying with them because their family has gone to our Christian school and gone through our Christian school, and we've been praying for her family, but specifically their youngest son Reuben is in the Army Reserve, and Reuben is in Oklahoma, and he got type A influenza, and it led to complications, and I was over there praying yesterday. There was a problem with his arm and not getting blood to the arm. There was a blood clot. They did surgery, and it was successful, and the blood clot was removed, and his blood is flowing into the arm, but there now is a problem with his leg, and his leg is turning purple. The blood is not getting to his leg for Reuben. So they're going to have to possibly do surgery on that as well. They're looking for the problem. And there is a danger of amputation of his leg. And we need to be praying, not just physically for this family, pray spiritually. I really believe that these kids that have had so much, I preached a message, remember at the beginning of the year, about the fig tree, digging around it and dunging it and bearing fruit, and pray for fruit. The mother and I were praying for that just outside now and praying. So I appreciate this, and that this is what it's all about. So let's pray. Let's pray for Reuben right now and for Marilla and her family. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this opportunity on this day and for this ministry that you've raised up here in Scranton and how you've blessed it. And Lord, I'm just a branch, but I know I'm connected to the true vine, the Lord Jesus, and that any fruit that comes in my life and ministry comes from the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we want fruit that would remain, and I'm praying for that for Reuben. I'm praying for that for Darian and for Noelia and for Wilson and, Lord, for each of the kids in that family, Father. We pray for each of them that there might be fruit in their lives, God, that would remain. And, Father, as they're going through these hard times, we just pray for you to cause it to bear fruit. And Lord, we pray for your mercies too. They're new every morning. You're very merciful, Lord. We pray in your dealing that you would remember your mercy and hear our prayers for mercy for Reuben. We pray and use this to bless. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Did we have scripture reading? Choir, did they come yet?
Yeah, that was the special.
So we're ready to preach.
We're ready.
Okay. All right, we're ready to preach. I hope you have your Bible today, and take your Bible. And first of all, I want to say thank you for coming to eat pizza with us, to have birthday cake, to celebrate this 75th birthday. Thank you for cards and thoughts and all the effort that you put in to have this big day. And we're going to issue super dark sunglasses to you because when we put the candles on the cake, the glare. Just kidding. I'm thinking that today I am 3/4 of a century. And if you take, if you take 6,000 years, which is from Adam to now, I'm just under 1/60th of world history that I've lived. And according to the Bible, though, I'm in the last quarter of the football game of my life. So, you know, my oldest son, when he was home for Christmas, my oldest son said this when he was home for Christmas. He said, you know, Dad, the only thing in this life that's constant is change. Think about that. Change. You know, the song says, change and decay in all around I see. Change and decay in all around I see. And I'm thinking of my wife who's walking my mother to the front right now. I'm thinking of my wife and I many years ago. We were walking in Florida where I met my wife. In the South Atlantic, on the shore of the South Atlantic. And as I was walking along with my young girlfriend, wife, and we were looking at these funny-looking creatures, Missy, and they were on the sand, and my wife said, they're sand fleas, and they would just make these funny motions with their legs and disappear under the sand. And then we would take and dig under them and pull them up. And they would be up on top and they'd go and go underneath and disappear. And we'd bring them up and they're called sand fleas. How many have ever seen those? Yeah, all right. Well, they're on the beaches down there and I remembered that. And, you know, we're trying to burrow in and hold on to things in this life. But God's almighty hand just keeps... Yeah. Shaking it up, and we can't hold on to this life. My grandmother, Mabel, who led me to the Lord, she said our life is like the relentless minute. It's like the hands of the sand in an hourglass, and it's quickly going away. And we only have this moment to hold in our hands as it sinks through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never come. And I want to preach this morning on my 75th. This world is not my home. This world is not my home. And I want to say 2 points. Number one, because your home here is temporary. Your home here is temporary. My oldest son, Stephen, he was here during Christmas. His home is in Los Angeles, California. And he has had homes burning all around him. He's had evacuation orders. And the movie star Mel Gibson's multi-million dollar house in Malibu, my son's right near there. He's taken me around Malibu and showed me these places. Mel Gibson's multi-million dollar home burned to the ground. It's just total rubble right now. Celebrity Paris Hilton, her home is a gorgeous oceanfront Malibu home. You look at it now, it's just a bunch of rubbish. It just burned. The man who won the highest lottery ever, he won a lottery of over $2 billion. $2 billion. And he had this gorgeous Malibu oceanfront property. I just saw it. It is burned to ashes just in a moment. And when I spoke to my son, who lives in L.A., on the phone about these things, he said, Dad, he said, there are no celebrities in L.A. right now. He said, they are facing the biggest fire in the history of the United States. He said, it's bigger than the Chicago fire. And it strikes me to say on my 75th birthday, as I'm in what would be called the last quarter of the football game of my life, and I'm going all out. It says in 2 Peter 3:10, the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The works and the works that are therein shall be burned up. In other words, God is saying, just like in California, what's happening now, your house, wherever you're living, wherever you're going to this afternoon, here in Pennsylvania or wherever, your house and every house on the face of the earth will one day be burned to ashes like their homes are right now. And it will be lit by the Lord, this fire, during the coming day of the Lord, which we're getting closer every day to that day. Now, somebody in my Sunday school class mentioned this, and I'm going to bring it up this morning. I was looking at these homes all burnt up, saw a whole block of homes just burnt to the ground in L.A., and I saw one house, the house to the right, to the left, all the other houses were burned to ashes, but this one house was standing up, and Joe, it was owned by an architect in L.A., and he had heard about these fires, and he built the home, the roof, the sides, to be fireproof. It was built to be fireproof, and now it was tested, and that home stood, not a char on it. Everything else was burned around it. And it reminds me this morning that if everything is going to be burned up, and people are going to be burned up, that there's a way for you to be fireproof.
Yes.
And there's only one way. You've got to hide in the house called Jesus. Just like they had their houses and they put blood on the doors and on the top of the door and on the sides. And when the judgment came, they were safe if they were in the house with the door. Jesus is that person. And if you run to him today and you put your faith in him who shed his blood, God promises you his wrath will not touch you. His fire will not burn you up. I'm so glad I did that.
Amen.
I hope you've done that. And we have little kids like Jonah Lee. Jonah Lee's here this morning. And we have kids that go through and the biggest thing, the biggest thing I'm concerned about is that these little kids, that they're saved from the fire to come. And that's what I'm here for. And so the Bible also says, not only that, but the Bible says that your body is the house of the real you. You know who the real you is? It's your soul. My grandma, my mother, who's here, her mother that led me to the Lord, Mabel Thompson Porter. My grandmother, she used to tell me, Randy, you're looking at me now. Now I think of her, she probably told me this when she was in her 60s. It's hard to believe. I am now 75. But she said, Randy, you're looking at me now. And I looked at an old lady in my mind. Anybody over 39 was an old person to me back then. But anyway, I looked at her and I thought, you know, she said this to me. She said, you're looking at my house. She said, I am my soul, and I'm looking out the windows of my eyes at you, and everything looks the same to me. Do you know everything around me looks the same as it did when I was 18, when I had this amazing body? Everything looks the same. But now you're looking at me, and I hear people looking at me, and they're saying, oh, you must be wise. You're getting old. And I'm like, what? I'm 18. You know, I think it was my mother that said, when she was in her 30s, I've got the body of an 18-year-old. Maybe she was in her 40s or 50s when she said it. And my father-in-law said, well, you better get it back. You're getting it wrinkled. But anyway, I am just saying that this body that we live in is our house. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:4, for we that are in this tabernacle or temporary house that you're living in right now, your body, do groan. And how people say to me, hey, how are you doing? And I say, gloriously, but in this mortal body. Because my soul and spirit are doing gloriously. But the outward man, the mortal body, we're getting older every day, let's face it. Brother Joe, I'll use you. Did you beat me to 75? Yes, you did. Brother Joe, our head deacon, he said to me and to the rest of you at watch night, New Year's Eve, he said, I like the testimonies, but it reminds me every year that I'm getting older. I'm getting 1 year older. And that is true. And our bodies are getting older. And so I can say this. I'm 75 today. And I can say I'm 75 years old today. But 58 years ago, this coming June the 16th, I was born again.
Amen.
Not from my mother and father that you saw up there. But I was born again from Father God.
Amen.
And I was born again by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. I was 17 years old, 58 years ago this year, and I was born again. And now the Holy Spirit of Jesus lives in me. That's why I'm preaching this morning. Here's the title of my message. Now, because I'm born again, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me. from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Can you say that? If your home is still in this world and you haven't had a new citizenship, then you're in trouble, because this world is headed for a big fire and it's coming soon. Or your body is headed for a big fall, like Humpty Dumpty, and you're not going to be getting it back. On my 75th birthday today, January 12th, I want you to think about how short your lifetime is. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 70. And that's 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80, that's 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, according to the Bible, then the average lifespan, some strong, some not as strong, should be between 70 and 80 years of age. If you check out the average lifespan in the United States, which is not a high nation anymore, it's in the 70s, between 70 and 80 years of age. Women live a little bit longer. Now, my dad was above the average. I believe if my dad did not take the Bill Gates COVID jab 4 times, I personally believe he would live to be 100 or more. He died 2 years ago at 96 and a half. My dad living to be 96, you know, he told my mother, who's here, he said, "Honey, we've lived too long." My dad took me out for drives. He liked to go on drives. He'd take us out, and he would go. But he got with my mother in his mid-90s, 95, 96, and they would go on a drive, and he'd go. And if he went too late at night, he'd get lost. He'd like, "Oh, man, I'm lost." He'd have to park the car, go to the door, say, "Hey, I'm lost. How do I get home?" And somebody maybe take him home. And he said, "Honey, we've lived too long." I'm just saying, no matter how healthy you are, no matter how strong you are, one day it's all going to come to a screeching halt. And so I'm just saying that you say, who is the greatest champion of all time? Who's the best boxer or fighter of all time? And I'll tell you, it's Father Time. Father Time takes them all down. It replaces them all. I don't care how strong they are. And so I'm just saying, where will you be a few seconds after you lose your home in this mortal body of yours? Where will you be? I remember as a young teenager, I'm so thankful I saw a verse that Jesus said, and I want to share it with you today. Jesus said this, and he said, "What will it profit if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" I want to ask you something. Your body's dying. You're not going to be able to stay here long. What are you clinging to in this world? It will not save you from hell. It will not save you from the judgment of Almighty God, because we've all sinned against him. And we all must face that judgment because he made us. Atheists must face it, whether they believe in it or not. What are you clinging to? I'm so thankful that when I got saved, I clung to the Lord Jesus and his death to save me from hell. And Jesus warns us that many of you are on the broad way. Most people are on the broad way that leads to destruction. How many of you heard that President Jimmy Carter died, former President Jimmy Carter died? He lived to be 100 years old. He died in Georgia, and he left his home there, and they just had his funeral. And Jimmy Carter was a Baptist. He stayed with one woman all of his life, and her name was Rosalind. And he was a faithful Southern Baptist church member. He actually taught Sunday school in a Baptist church in Plains, Georgia. Now, most of you would shake your head and say, "Pastor, surely Jimmy Carter is in heaven." But I want to ask you a question. Do you know what his favorite song was, or one of his favorite songs that they sung at his funeral? It was a song called Imagine. Imagine. Now let me say, it's an anti-God, anti-Christ song written by a wicked rock star by the name of John Lennon. And here's how the song goes. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Ah, imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living in peace. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us. Yeah, and that you'll join the one world, Antichrist, beast, mark of the beast, one world system that John Lennon was singing about when he wrote that song and gave us doctrines of devils. And that Jimmy Carter, who loved Reinhold Niebuhr, an apostate religionist, and Jimmy Carter believed that all his life. He said he just wanted to vote for Kamala, who believed in killing babies and all the rest. I'm just saying that what Jimmy Carter was lead us to mass killing of Christ's true heaven-bound disciples during the Great Tribulation, this one-world government. I don't believe that's what Jesus Christ is about. I'm just saying there's a broad way, and that broad way leads to destruction. And I don't want to see anybody go to hell. I know God can save people at the last moment. I pray for that. But I'm saying on my 75th birthday, I must take this one last chance to warn those of you who are not yet born again to flee, to run to Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Him. And I must warn you that don't have any fruit that you've been born again, according to the Bible in 1 John, that you don't have the fruit that John writes about, that you are on a fast track on the broad road and you are headed to hell. And don't be deceived by this world. Don't be deceived by the peace lovers of this world who, Jesus said, there is no peace to the wicked. Right. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. You say, Pastor, where will I wind up if I stay on this same road I've been on? Well, the Bible says the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But that man is still in hell tonight after about 2,000 years more. He still would want somebody to give him some water, but it's only a memory now. All of his riches are only a memory now. He's a has-been. It's all in the past now. But he loves his family. He tried to get help for his family. You love your family, and you'll love them in hell if you're not saved. But you won't be able to help them. God told him through Abraham, he said, your family has the Bible. They have to listen to the Bible. And you're being given the Bible, and you're being given an opportunity today to repent of your unbelief and put all your trust in Jesus Christ. I hope that you will do that today. I hope that you'll do it. If you're a teenager like I was, man, I had a chip on my shoulder. I had a bad attitude that I had gotten into. God can get rid of that. Jesus can get rid of that if you'll put your trust in Him today. And that's what I want to do here on my 75th birthday. You know, my wife had a dream about her father, who was in his 50s, and he helped out at the Baptist church. I think he was probably, was he a member at Emmanuel maybe at that time? I'm not, yeah, he was a member at Emmanuel Baptist Church, which was a fundamental Baptist church in Florida. And my mother-in-law was saved, And I asked my father-in-law one time, I said, Dad, what makes you really tick then? I said, you say you believe in Jesus in your head. He said, really, it's the blonde that I'm living for. The blonde was his wife, and he loved his wife. But if he only would have loved Jesus like he loved the blonde. And, you know, I love my father-in-law. My wife loved him, of course, more. And she prayed for him and prayed for him and pled with him. Daddy, she called him. You just need to get saved. I remember him helping out at the church. He had the cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and he was helping put in a screen room or something for the Sunday school, and he was donating his stuff, you know, as he's doing that. By the way, if you got a cigarette, get rid of it. It's no good. If you're a church member, you got those cigarettes, they're coffin nails. Now, that won't save you, getting rid of a cigarette. It won't save you. It won't keep you out, but it'll save your body a little longer. And you should do it and trust God. But anyway, he had all of that. And my wife had a dream about him. And my father-in-law was now making money. He became probably a millionaire. He made a lot of money in his business that he started. And my father-in-law, in the dream, he was saying, can I get a drink of water? Wasn't he asking for that? Just something. And they said, Harry, you can't have it. You're in hell. There's no water here. There's no relief here. And that was the truth. And thank God my father-in-law went to a Baptist church, something like this one, in Florida. He left the Southern Baptist Church, the liberal church there, in his wealthy place. He lived in Wellington, where Prince Charles came to play polo, and he got a beautiful home there. He left that church and he went to a little church across the tracks called Loxahatchee Baptist Church. And the preacher was preaching like I'm preaching from the King James Bible and about how Jesus will save you from your sin if you come to him and trust in him. And guess what? He got saved. And he was in his 50s and it was different. He now had a personal relationship with God. He saw spiritual things. He wanted to help me in the church here. Wanted to help me in soul winning. And listen, have you been born again? If you haven't been born again, you're going to lose your house, your body, and you're going to wind up in hell. I'm saying this world is not my home because your home here is temporary, number one. Number two, because I am now a stranger and a pilgrim. The Bible says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. Now, my mother's sitting here. Can you hear me, Mom? She says yes. And my mother's here, and she keeps asking me what I want for my birthday. And I tell her that I want more people that love being strangers and pilgrims like I have been since I was 17 and went away to Muskegon for that summer, Mom. My mom prayed for me, and she got the answer to her prayer. Some of you are praying for your children, and keep praying. Don't give up, ever, because this is the most important thing, that they are born again, and now they have a new home. And that's what happened to me. And according to the Bible, I became a stranger from a foreign country. Now, I don't always agree with this preacher, but I remember right after I got saved, I was watching a late night TV show, and Johnny Carson. How many of you remember Johnny Carson? Okay, you're the old ones. Thank you. Johnny Carson. And he was on there with a younger evangelist by the name of Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham used to say, my name is Billy Graham. Write to me, Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's all the address you need. Billy Graham, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I remember he was on that Johnny Carson show, and I was intrigued with his question about death. And I was intrigued about how the evangelist answered it, because he asked him how he felt about dying, you know. And Billy Graham said, I am looking forward to dying. He said, I believe there are great things to do when I get to my home in heaven. I have a heavenly home. I've got another country I'm going to. And that's where I'm going to. And he told about how he was born again. And Johnny Carson was just asking about it, you know. I don't believe Johnny Carson ever got born again. But I know if you're born again, you're going to live forever, man. And I have a high school friend. I had a high school friend by the name of Klaus Grund. And some of my friends made fun of him because he was they call him Nazi and stuff like that, because he came from Germany and his father was in the army in Germany in World War II. And Klaus was in our high school, and they used to kind of make fun of him and because he was from a foreign country. And he had different customs and a different language as his first language. And if you're a born-again believer, guess what? You are now a foreigner in this world. This world is more and more, you don't feel at home here.
Right.
You feel like you're from another country, and you're going to another place. And listen, don't be surprised if the world doesn't like you. They don't like your values. And in fact, the Bible says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, some of you have been saved and your family members do not understand you. That's a sign that you are a foreigner, a stranger. That's a good sign, actually. That's a good sign. I remember my best friend, he did not understand me. His name was Bill. You remember the Stinking McQuarries. No, my dad used to call my friends the Stinking McQuarries. They were great guys, really they were. Bill, I believe he got saved, but Bill wasn't saved. And Bill, if he's listening to this message, Bill, I love you. But Bill, he would say to me, right after I got saved, I came back from Muskegon that summer. I was 17 and a half, and I came back, and we were friends in high school. He used to have a Corvette Stingray, and I used to drive around. He was the best-looking guy in the high school. The girls thought he was beautiful. He was a football star, you know. But Bill said to me, he said, you're like a holy guy now. And it hurt my feelings. And I realized, looking back, that I was a stranger to him because I was born again now. And I had a different eyesight and insight. And I was not the same Randy Bloom that he knew before. And that was tough on him. It must have been tough on him. And I was his best friend, and I'd become a stranger to him. I was now from a foreign country, and I was now citizen of a country called heaven. Well, Andy, I'm glad you're here, but man, mercy, you're almost at the end. Good to see Andy here with his friend. Good to see you. But on my birthday today, I want you to know that since I was born again at 17, I've not only been a stranger, but I've been a pilgrim. You say a stranger, what is it? I just said a foreigner. I now have a new home, a new country, a new address. But I'm also a pilgrim, and so are you if you're born again. And what is a pilgrim? It says in the Bible, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. 1 Peter 2:11. Now, I'm thinking of my mom being here. You were 19, Mom, when you had me. You were married at 18. And my mom had me in Grand Rapids, Michigan, at Butterworth Hospital, 75 years ago. And today we're celebrating that. And we have a birthday cake. But my most important birthday was when you got together with Grand Mabel. And you said, he's having trouble in the house. He's got a chip on his shoulder. And sent me to Muskegon. And that summer, her mother led me to the Lord without even knowing it. She was just talking about Jesus and the Bible, and I got saved. I am really 58 years of age. As a new man in Christ, I like that, 58, all right? And I want to say the Lord has treated me so well over these last 58 years. If I look a day younger than 75, it's because of the Lord. If I was living for the devil, I'm sure I'd look a lot older than 75. I know I would. I may be dead. The Bible puts it this way, that for those of you that are born again, it says, these all died in faith. If you believe the word of God, keep believing it. Live and die in faith. I'm not saved because I feel saved. I'm saved because the word of God.
Right.
Fact, faith, feeling. These all died in faith. And then it says concerning your faith and God's promises about being saved by Jesus Christ. It says, having seen them, those promises, and were persuaded of them. Are you persuaded about what I'm talking to you about being saved? You know, there was a guy in the Bible, he said, almost thou persuadest me. And Paul said, I would to God almost and altogether.
Yeah.
Because close only counts in horseshoes. You are not saved until you are persuaded that Jesus is the Savior and he died and rose again and his death will save you if you trust him. And it says that that's what it means there. And embrace them. That means you trust Jesus. You embrace him. You cling to him. It's kind of like you're on the ocean and your boat went down and you're crying out, somebody save me, I'm dying in the middle of the ocean. And I come up with a boat and I throw you a life raft on a rope. And I say, Diane, cling on to that rope. Are you going to cling on to it? Yeah, you're going to cling. And she clings on to it and I pull her in. That's what it means by embrace these promises. That you know you're going to die and go to hell. That your only hope is cling on to Jesus. And that's what it means when it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be. Embrace the promise. Acts 16:31. I hope somebody will do that today.
Amen.
I had the privilege in Sunday school to lead a young lady to the Lord. I think she was 12 years old from Jackson Street. Is that you? What's your first name, honey?
Giselle.
Led her to the Lord this morning. I'm just saying, I would to God that I could lead you to the Lord today. And if you are saved, man, just thank God for these promises and embrace them. And it says, and confessed, listen to this, and confessed that they are strangers, they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know what confess means, homologeo. Oh, it means to say the same thing that God says. God says if you're saved, you're a foreigner. Your real home is in heaven. You can't hold on to this world. And you're a pilgrim. You're on a journey. You know, pilgrims, they go to Misericordia, right, Joe? Catholics go to Misericordia. And they want to go to Eastern Europe and Misericordia to go to the place where an apparition of Mary spoke to people. Do you know that wasn't Mary? Do you know the Bible says that necromancy, talking to the dead, is a grievous sin?
Right.
That wasn't Mary. They're talking to a devil. And these Catholics go there. It's not true. And then the Muslims, they go to Mecca because they think that's the capital. But they claim that Abraham, that the child of promise was not Isaac. It was who?
Ishmael.
And they go to Mecca, and that is not the true religion, because the Savior came from Isaac and Jacob.
Right.
And if they want to believe, they have to accept that salvation is of the Jews.
Right.
I'm not a Jew, but I've accepted a Jewish Messiah. And you have to come that narrow way. And put your faith in him. And he will never disappoint you if you do that. And if you're saved today, I am here to tell you something great. You're going to a better place. Way better than your home. Way better than anything in this world. The weather is perfect. The people up there are perfect. Jesus is there and we know he's perfect. I mean, there's a street of gold. It's the yellow brick road. And it goes all through the place. Only one street. It's not the streets of gold. They're one street. And the city is 50, about 1,380 miles, Joe. 15, we rounded off. 1,500 miles high, wide, and it's a cube city and all levels. And, you know, it's just a beautiful place. And there's a mansion up there. And Jesus said, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. No, know what he was talking about? The New Jerusalem. The city is the place. And whose builder and maker is God. And that's where we're going. There's no garbage dumps there. There are no garbage politicians there. There are no taxes there. There's no sickness there. There's no death there. There's no 75th birthday there. Wow. We live forever. I got no problems this morning. Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Thank you for saving me. If you're not saved, I'm inviting you to sign up to go with me.
Yes.
Sign up. When he comes back, you won't miss it.
Right.
We'll go up together. Dead or alive, we'll go up together at the rapture. You won't miss it. Sign up. You say, how do I sign up? You admit you're a sinner. You deserve to die and go to hell. You have no other hope. There's nobody else that can save you. And cling to Jesus and his promise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, his death and burial and resurrection, to save you. And you'll be saved. It's that simple. May God help you. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. Thank you for coming.